when you do this, you also have to think about the fact that we made some approximations at certain points, and now we have to be careful with these approximations. So, for instance, in the thermal expansion, if you heat a crystal up, then what happens is this is a bond potential, and I have drawn in here in black the different vibrational states. So if the crystal is cold, then the vibrations will be here at the bottom. And if you heat the crystal up, then more of these higher states will get occupied. And you can see in this potential that the average position of the bond shifts to the right when the higher states get occupied. And this is really what's responsible for the thermal expansion. If you just had a parabola, and we typically, to calculate phonons, we just had a parabola like this, and you calculate these same states, they're all symmetric around zero. So if this were really the bond potential, there would be no thermal expansion. As you get the higher states occupied, there is no shift. There is a thermal expansion, and I showed on the last slide how to calculate it. It's the derivative of the free energy with first respect to the stress to get the strain, and then take the second derivative with respect to temperature, and that gives the thermal expansion. But you have to be sure that you first add the nonlinear effects. You have to add this to the free energy before you differentiate, or you won't get the right answer here. I talked about acoustic attenuation. And acoustic attenuation is this idea that you start out with some sound waves and you have a crystal. And you measure how much they decay on the other side. And microscopically, what's happening is that you excite phonons in the crystal. And if the phonons were really eigenstates of the crystal, then they would just, if you excite them on the left, they would just propagate across and there would be no acoustic attenuation. They might not be eigenstates of this crystal, first of all, if there are defects in it, so it's not a perfect crystal. These defects will scatter the phonons that come in from the left off in other directions. So then, in this direction, you'll get an attenuation. But there can also be scattering because the phonons that we calculated were for a parabolic potential, and the potential is not really parabolic. And this anharmonic shape also causes scattering in other directions and causes the sound waves, the amplitude of the sound waves, to decrease as you go into the crystal. And this will change then also the thermal conductivity. So when we talked about thermal conductivity for phonons, there were phonons that travel for a certain distance and then scatter off into some direction. This was a diffusion of phonons. They travel for some distance, they scatter off in some direction. And the scattering in another direction can either be through defects like this, or it can be because the bond potentials are not parabolic. And if the bond potentials are not parabolic, we didn't really calculate the right eigenstates of the system. And we can continue to use the phonon states as a basis. We can continue to describe the crystal in terms of those phonons, but now we have to say that there'll be scattering between those phonon states, and you can calculate that scattering with Fermi's golden rule. So the thermal conductivity is also related to this non-linear potential. There's a the bulk modulus tells you how much the crystal changes when you apply a pressure to it, how much the volume changes when you apply a pressure to it. And if you apply so much pressure that you shift the position between the atoms, also the anharmonic terms of this can play a role. So for all these things, you need to also include the higher order terms that are associated with these nonlinear potentials. And I'm mostly going to skip over that part. So in order to do it properly, you would have to do the calculation for everything we've calculated. We'd have to then include the corrections due to this nonlinear bond potential. But I think you can still understand this idea that you can calculate the equilibrium properties of a crystal by first constructing the free energy and then take some derivatives of the free energy to calculate the different properties. All right. So I think I will stop here, and we'll start the next, after the break, we will start with introducing the symmetries of the crystals and what they have to do with all kinds of measurable quantities. All right, we'll stop.